That was going to be my porn site. I was going to register getwiththefucking.com. Because whenever you're watching porn, there's like stories. So it's like, I don't care.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about Crimbo, secular Christmas, and all our favorite and least favorite Christmas stuff.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, this is Geeks Without God. Thanks for joining us. I'm Nick Glover. I'm joined by Molly Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
Hi there.
And today is Christmas.
Hey! Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas. I mean, like, sort of.
Crimbo!
You might be listening to this on Christmas. We're recording in mid-December.
It's going up on Christmas.
The episode goes up on Christmas Day. December 25th.
And because I'm a statistics nerd, I'm going to point out it goes up Christmas Day, December 25th, and it is our 25th podcast.
Oh. It's our golden podcast.
That must be fate, right?
That's ordained by God.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is God. Oh, shit, you guys. I just had a reckoning.
And that was our last episode of Geeks Without God.
I'm just fucking with you. Yeah.
But, so because it's a Christmas episode, and we wanted to make him feel guilty because we know it was Catholic background. Molly and I bought and wrapped a present for Tim he's going to open while we record. Merry Christmas, Tim.
I didn't get you guys anything.
Yeah, Tim looks proper flustered.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to unwrap it. So
unwrap
hopefully,
it into the microphone.
Oh, look, it's a box. The box doesn't have anything on it, so this is really interesting.
It's a plain white box.
It's a plain white box.
Like me.
That's taped. Yeah. It's taped together, so I think I can get this open quickly. What's
yeah.
Oh my God! It's an Ark of the Covenant.
It's like a desk size, paperweight.
Desk size paperweight Ark of the Covenant from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's sweet as hell.
Yay!
Fucking A.
Good job,
man.
Awesome.
So we'll take a picture. This goes in the show notes because this is the greatest.
Happy Crimbo.
Yeah. Happy Crimbo.
This is the greatest gift ever, except everything my wife's given you. I love you, honey.
Including your two beautiful children.
I didn't get that. For Christmas.
Those are
I'm just unwrapping this. Look, it even says Ark of the Covenant right on here.
Does it open? Oh, it opens.
Oh, shit, it opens.
Oh,
I just spilled the Ark. The
Oh, your face is melting off.
Awesome.
Tim's a Nazi. No,
this is great. This
one
is great.
Can
you put
things,
stuff inside?
Yeah.
I could like put sand in here.
All that weed, Tim's.
Yay! I'm so glad
awesome.
You love it.
Thank you, you guys. That is really awesome. Thank you very much.
One of the things Molly and I love the most about Christmas is we play Christmas competitively.
Yeah.
We like to win Christmas.
Hell yeah.
Uh-oh.
So like we have my sisters are like 7 and 11.
10 and 8.
And 7. And we love to have them open our presents and have our presents clearly be better than everyone else's presents.
Or at least favored at the time.
Favored at the time.
Good.
Yeah.
Favored by the child. They don't have not more expensive.
Not more expensive.
Fancier,
right.
Not bigger, just more favored or at least instantly like, I'm really excited about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goes for everyone. Nick and I both are really good at finding just the right thing, and we're good at suggesting presents for people we don't even know. So
yeah, we have friends that ask us for advice yearly.
Yeah,
we love
that. I love giving presents, but my wife is so hard to buy things for. She is just the hardest ever. And it's like I'll ask her, honey, give me a list of things you want for Christmas. And like 5 days before Christmas, she'll finally give me the fucking list. And then I'm like, I can't get any of this now.
Yeah.
Molly
can't surprise me with anything.
He's really terrible at the surprise. And also he's really hard to find because he really likes practical stuff, but the fanciful stuff he likes, you're just taking a gamble. And he also has a tendency to get stuff for himself when he likes it. Because when he likes something, it's on sale or it's a Woot.
Yeah.
And so he's just,
I've been keeping my eyes out for something for a while, and then when it goes on sale, I might pick it up. So.
And then she can't get it for you for a gift.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just got to point out, we're talking about Christmas like we like it, but we're like atheists. Is that okay?
That's because I like secular Christmas.
Secular Christmas.
I say Crimbo, which I have heretofore known as a Kingdom of Loathing term, which is that game we've talked about before, KOL. The in Kingdom of Loathing, around this time, the whole month of December is Crimbo, which I always just thought they made up. But it turns out it is British slang specifically for secular Christmas, or Christmas with no religious ties whatsoever, because there's a lot more atheists.
The festive winter gift-giving parts.
When you have a tree and holly and wreaths and cookies and the songs and snowmen and gifts on the 25th, Crimbo.
So, I like that. See,
I like it too. So Merry Crimbo, Happy Merry Crimbo. Crimbo.
You know, I say Christmas anyway. Yeah. Sure. It's habit. I like everything about Christmas. That's kind of the obnoxious thing, except for the Jesus part. The Jesus, you know, but honestly, if you go to the real basic concept of Christmas is life, right? It's the birth of Jesus. It's a birth celebration.
It's what do they say in Doctor Who does a Christmas special over here?
He says halfway through, he says the point is that everyone around the world at the darkest time of the year, halfway through the winter, turns to each other and hugs and celebrates and says, "Well done, everyone! Like
we're on our way out of
the darkness."
Yeah, except for you, Australia. Fuck you.
No, see, what is it, like summer there?
Ugh. Yeah, they do it at a different time of year. But it's a good point that whether you believe in Jesus or not, just the basic concept and where it came from.
Harvest and you're all inside.
There's a reason that there is Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Christmas and Ramadan and all of this, and the solstice and Yule and all of these things happen right around the same time of year. It's because they are all born out of these, you know, originally, I guess, pagan festivals that involved making it through the worst part of the year because we can't
grow any crops anymore. And around about this time of winter, we're pretty much running out of this grains and shit that we've got stored.
Well, if you're in a climate where there's snow or anything like that, you're cabin fever, you're trapped inside with each other, you're driving each other insane. Yeah. Like,
and knowing the days are getting longer, sweet. We can make it through this shit.
Start getting some of that vitamin D.
Well, and all the holidays, and you know, well, okay, not Ramadan, you contrary bastards, but it's all about fat, like feasting and like getting fat for winter. Maybe it's because they're a desert people. Like they don't need to fatten up for winter so much, but seriously, like it's usually a lot of eating and a lot of when we get together
Food is a part of it, definitely.
There's definitely...
Oh my God, food is a big part. You guys, for Christmas Eve, the amount of food that's in my house is just...
The cookies that are upstairs, my God, Tim.
Oh, you have no idea. Pat is... She does the most of... You will get some. Oh. No, you won't get some.
Oh, yeah?
you will get huge, gigantic plates of 20 different fucking kinds of cookies. Pat makes cookies and candy because she just loves to do it.
I love making cookies. I'm going to make cookies probably this weekend because since Monday and Tuesday, I love it when this works out. FFG gives us Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off, so I get to have a 4-day weekend, which doesn't always happen.
Sometimes I get to have a Tuesday and a Wednesday
or something. But
Christmas Eve isn't a paid holiday at my work.
It isn't mine. So is New Year's Day. We get so many days off in November, December, and then between in this holiday season, we get Thanksgiving and the day after, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and then New Year's Day are all like we're closed.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, you can come to work if you want, but you're an idiot.
You should be staying home and gaming. Seriously,
that's what they want us to do. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Do you have a favorite Christmas cookie?
You know, it's not a Christmas cookie, but the cookie that Pat makes that I seriously I will kill to eat as many of them as I can.
Wow.
Is oatmeal scotchies.
Oh, Molly just made oatmeal scotchies like three
oatmeal
days ago.
Scotchies.
I'm sure your oatmeal scotchies are good, but
no, I don't make them. I haven't made them in a long time. We found them. Nestle makes them. Break and bake at the store now.
Oh, yeah.
You can make them. Yeah.
Oh, these are not Pat's because she's got like a secret ingredient that she puts in and shit. And it's just like
horseradish.
Oh, they're so fucking insane. They're so good.
Molly's brother, who's my coworker, is King.
Kevin.
Can't eat chocolate, can't have nuts, can't have
He can't have chocolate because it's a nut.
Right. Yeah. So I guess their mom made oatmeal scotchies as their like
all cookie he could eat. That was one we could all
instead
have.
Of like scots. Yeah. So when Molly made these, I brought like three or four to work in a Tupperware, and I dropped them at his desk on my way in. He was like, "Oh my god, oatmeal scotchies!" And I was like, "Whoa!" Like, okay, I love it when Molly's crazy, exaggerated stories about her childhood always end up getting. Like, blindly confirmed by one of her family members.
The best was Porter was like, a friend of the show, Porter, was like, "Hey, man, can I have one of those?" And Kevin apparently was like, "No, these are my cookies. My sister made me."
Yeah, it was...
like,
it was
the fucking Gollum.
Super
like,
possessive, like, yeah.
It says, what's your... So,
Scotches!
So what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Not a cookie, but the same brother, Kevin, and his wife, Elisa, do like a winter craft...
Finch's Holiday Time Boutique.
It's a boutique where they have local crafters come and take over their house and they sell stuff. And we pick up gifts every year. It's awesome. It's local crafty people. But they make caramel corn with hot tamales melted in.
Really?
So it's cinnamon.
The caramel is mostly hot tamales.
It's cinnamon caramel. It's like hot tamales melted over popcorn.
That's pretty sweet.
I love spicy stuff even when it comes to sweet things. And that stuff is... crack. I love it.
My favorite is a cookie that my grandma made, that my mom made, that I now make, which are mini fruit cakes.
Oh, yeah.
And they're about this big, which is like, they're about the size of a half dollar.
Okay.
They're in the little tiny mini baking cups. And it's just like, you mix like basically flour and sugar and those jellied cherries that you can get that are like candied cherries, the red and the green, and then dates and pineapple. You mix it all together and you bake it, and it turns into this little, like, slightly like cookie-ish, mostly fruit and nuts, and it's super good.
It's almost like a seven-layer bar, but with fruitcake ingredients.
Yeah. I'll bring you some when next we meet, because I'm gonna be making a lot of Christmas cookies.
You guys have no idea how many cookies. Pat's not even done. She's only like half done. And they're like little Tupperware.
There's like six
of
trays of cookies
in
there.
Yeah. You have a thing for holding multiple racks of cookies.
Yeah.
Real fruitcake, the green bits are pineapple.
There's pineapple in these, but it's not green. It's just because they make candied pineapple too.
Yeah.
It's just that it's harder to deal with. It's also sticky. Like
it
cookies,
all comes from Georgia.
The cookies that my family traditionally makes, we have the mini fruit cakes, we have candy cane cookies, which is you make these like peppermint sugar cookies, and then you dye half the dough red. And then you have the other half that's just sugar cookie colored. And then you make snakes and you entwine them to make candy canes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So we make those. Mm-hmm. We make marshmallow crispy wreaths, which is
cornflakes. Oh, my God, I love those so bad.
And marshmallow.
Oh, they're so
good. With the hot
Pat makes those too. And I got to say, they're better than Rice Krispie squares.
Yeah.
Because the cornflakes with the marshmallow.
The cornflakes is great.
It's just fucking insane.
We make those. Really good. Also do the, there's one other one that we make, and I can't think of it. My sister and I like to make cookies. So, and she's home. My sister's home from college.
Yay.
I'm so excited to go see her.
So, that's like, awesome. How about favorite Christmas song?
I kind of hate all Christmas songs.
See, I love Christmas songs.
I know
I'm
all
not
the
really
lyrics
a...
to so many, because my mom used to just sing Christmas songs in the car pretty much year-round. So the one I get stuck in my head literally all year, and you're going to laugh, but it happens about once a week, is Good King Wenceslas.
Oh, yeah.
See, I like that one.
It gets stuck in my head just constantly.
If you hum those beats to her, it'll get stuck in her head because she knows all the words. Mm-hmm. She'll have to sing
it
to
herself.
She
already brought it up, so it was
too late. It's great.
Okay, you guys go, because I'm going to think about this.
I like a lot of Christmas songs. My band does a Christmas show. We'll be doing it up in a few days here. And we never
Winter Wonderland.
Oh, that's a good song. I like Winter Wonderland.
That's probably my favorite.
Do, 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 do. Yeah, we are doing that.
Carol of the Bells.
Yeah.
Carol of the Bells.
Carol of the Bells. I love that one.
Which, if you don't know, is that dun 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right on. Sure.
Pat
no
really
singing in it. I like that even better.
There is singing, but the words are very...
Okay.
The words are like, hark to the bells, here are the bells, or something, but it's like...
There are some bells.
Yeah.
Do you want some bells?
It's like wishing you
I have some
Merry
bells.
Christmas.
I know all the words because
it's,
we actually sing that
but
song.
But it's not
we
religious,
sing that
is
song.
It?
Do you carol?
What we do so, and I don't, I have caroled.
I've never caroled.
Carol of the Bells, we actually do a mashup with another song for Carol of the Bells. Soldiers 3. We be Soldiers 3.
I've never seen
it's on our CD.
Drake's
it's on our Drake
show.
CD. So, our Christmas CD. But,
I will tell you which songs I hate. Can we talk about Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Can I talk about what I like?
Oh, yeah.
Sleigh Ride. Sleigh Ride is my favorite.
Which is that?
Da 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 da. I like. I don't like it with the words. Together with you, I know all the words.
I associate that one with Disney.
Yeah, really. See, there was this record that my parents had that was a Christmas record that they would always play, and I think it was like the Boston Pops, Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops, or something like that. And they did a version of Sleigh Ride, and I just fucking love that version. It was like the first song on a side. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it was like you could just put I knew how to put the needle on the record. And I was just at the right spot, and I would listen to that over and over again. So Sleigh Ride has always kind of been my favorite. My second favorite is what's called the Christmas song, which is most people would call Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
Oh,
I just think that's a super, super pretty song.
Paul McCartney covered that for a Christmas album recently, and what he changed, everyone knows a turkey and some mistletoe to everybody knows some holly and some mistletoe.
But what about
vegan?
Oh, because he's a vegan. Fucking vegan.
Or vegetarian.
Have you, this was brought up a while ago, but you notice how... how rapey Baby It's Cold Outside is.
Oh, just wait until our show.
Dude,
you guys.
Really?
You guys.
I'm excited. Yeah, it's super rapey. I have to tell you two things I heard in the Old Navy when I was there shopping for clothes for the little girls. One was a version of Baby It's Cold Outside that I hadn't heard. It's a little modernized, but literally the woman at one point was going, I wish I could go. I wish I could leave. I can't find the door. I wish I could leave.
What?
And I'm
my God.
Whoa!
My favorite part, there's a part of the song where she sings, hey, what's in this drink? And, whenever we perform that song, somebody always says, nothing, why do you ask?
Yeah. Hey, what's in this drink? It's ripped.
Nothing. It's just disgusting. But
so
the
other thing I heard, though, in the Old Navy, real quick, about the Dregs was, do you hear what I hear?
Yeah.
The Dregs do a version of, which is, do you have what I have?
Yes, which is much more STD.
It's all about STDs.
Yeah.
And I'm in the Old Navy, in the little girls' clothes section, they're going, it's like, the prostitute went to see her pimp.
Yeah.
And like, in my head, I'm like, do you have what I have? And like shopping for little girls' clothes. And like really enjoying this song. And they're probably like, oh, look at her. She's filled with Jesus' love.
With Jesus. So least favorite Christmas song. So least you were going to say.
Silent Night.
Oh,
yeah, that's pretty
awesome.
It's so long. That and Oh Holy Night.
Noel.
You know,
the first Noel.
My least favorite is Little Drummer Boy because it's just fucking tedious.
Yeah.
It is.
This is da pa rum pa pum.
That's how I feel about Silent Night.
Yeah.
It's because it's just over and over. Just da 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 da. That's the whole song.
It is.
Think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Da,
then there's a key change, and then
and then and Oh Holy Night. So I will link to this video, and I will make you guys watch it after this episode is done. But there is just an MP3 called Oh Holy Crap, which is because someone is singing Oh Holy Night, and I don't know where they found it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's a dude trying to sing Oh Holy Night, and I will give him points.
Drunk?
No, I will give him points for this. He goes for it.
No, it's the story behind it, and I actually heard this song about 10 years ago. I shared it with all my friends. We laughed about it like you would not believe. And it turns out, dude is a professional who records like voiceovers and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he gets like demo tapes all the time. And so what he did was he made this song with like all the shit people do wrong on demo tapes.
Sure.
It's absolutely on purpose.
It's super
but
funny.
Even
it's
knowing
professionally
that,
on purpose.
Even knowing that, it is hilariously awful.
My office mate Mark Larson made me listen to it.
Snark Larson,
and it got to the Mark Larson. It got to the point where people were coming in because we had to listen to it.
Yeah.
He's like, it's an annual tradition for me, and people were coming to my office going, "What the fuck is going on in here?"
I know.
So we will put it in the show notes. You must listen to it.
My friend Wendy. Wendy Bowlesby, and I introduced her to this song, and I mean, literally the first time we listened to it together, we were laughing so hard we couldn't breathe because we're
great.
Both singers.
Yeah,
and just listening to this horrible singing was hilarious.
You guys go for it.
Okay, so how about favorite Christmas movie?
Die Hard.
I know some people like Die Hard is technically a Christmas movie. I'm like, fuck that.
Not technically. It is
a
Christmas
movie.
It's
a
Santa hat.
It takes place as
ho, ho, ho.
Now I have
a machine
gun. Ho, ho, ho.
Right, yeah.
It's a
Christmas
movie. It takes place at a Christmas party.
I bought it just so I could watch it during Christmas.
Yeah.
Like,
what's yours?
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
The Ref.
You know,
The Raff with Dennis Leary, it's hilarious.
You're like the third person to say in the past week or two to be like, oh yeah, favorite Christmas movie is Raff. I've seen like half of it, and I remember it being mediocre. Maybe it's I need awesome. To give it another shot.
It's not mediocre. It's filled with awesome. I'm going
to go Love Actually.
I really like Love.
That's an adorable movie.
I really love that movie. And if you are looking for a movie similar to that, but without any kind of holiday theme, I really recommend Crazy Stupid Love, which Nick and I just recently watched, and it's really good. It's got that like drama comedy, heartwarming, like
Is it a hyperlink kind of movie like Love Actually is?
It is. Where at the end you're like, oh shit, everyone came together in ways I was not expecting.
You know, I love Love Actually. I really do. Yeah. Love Actually has begotten all sorts of films like Valentine's Day and they're so fucking awful.
Valentine's Day was okay.
No, I totally disagree.
Yeah, spoiler alert. The only thing about Valentine's Day that I thought was the good part was that the woman who is the vet coming home from Iraq who hasn't seen her son, and like she like the whole time you're worried that like you don't know that that's what it is. All you know is she hasn't seen her kid. You don't know what's going on, and the kid is like saying like I wish that my mom was here, but you think maybe she's dead. Like you don't. They make it very unclear, and then you realize she's coming home from like Iraq or Afghanistan. Yeah. Like she's done. Like she's coming home.
Isn't she talking about a guy that she's going home?
That I miss, and she's like, I miss him so much. He's my whole world.
You know,
like I haven't seen him since whatever. Mm-hmm. I hope he remembers me. I worry about whatever.
Yeah. Less Christmassy, more nerdy. Yeah. You know what I'm super excited about is the kid from Love Actually is Jojen Reed in Game of Thrones next season, which is going to be fucking awesome. Nerdy.
So I will say, so what's the movie, Christmas movie you hate? Christmas movie you just hate? I have two.
White Christmas.
Oh, with Bing Crosby?
Yeah, with Bing Crosby. There are two Bing Crosby Christmas movies. There's White Christmas and there's Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
I don't really care for either of them because I know this is horrible for me to say, but I fucking hate Bing Crosby's voice. I cannot stand it when the man starts to sing. So any Christmas movie in which Bing Crosby sings, any movie in which Bing Crosby sings, I just instinctively hate. So, but Holiday Inn is more charming because it's got Fred Astaire, and I'm a big Fred Astaire fan. Mm-hmm. So, White Christmas, I just don't.
I really hate A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Oh, you were so wrong. It's the greatest.
That movie.
And I really, really hate It's a Wonderful Life. I know these are unpopular opinions, and I don't care.
Christmas Story is fucking terrible.
It is not terrible. You are wrong.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I think there's a thing.
It's boring.
I think it's like, if you're right on the tail end of Generation X or in...
I'm in Generation X.
I know. You're right on the tail end, though.
Yeah.
You're right where Generation X ends, and I am technically right where the next generation begins. Because I'm class...
82 is what they're...
I'm class of 2000.
I just read the Wikipedia article about it, and the people who came up with the term say 1982 to 2000 birth year.
But the reason they say 82 is because 82 is the class of... 2000. I was born in summer of 81, but I was class of 2000. So
you're being held back gives you a new millennial.
I am
a new generation.
Culturally, right. I'm the beginning of the millennial generation.
Fair enough. What were
you gonna say? So I think that anyone that's that age or younger probably hates A Christmas Story.
And my kids love it.
Really?
My kids love it.
Your kids are like grumpy old men in child bodies.
For me, it was the thing I didn't like about it was it. I mean, I liked it maybe the first. I liked it when I was a kid. The first couple times I saw it,
but I don't like that it's romanticized.
It seemed really boring. And I remember saying to my mom, like, was life when you were a kid really boring? Because this movie's really boring. But it's similar to The Birds. The Birds doesn't scare me at all. And I know my mom thinks that movie's terrifying. And it just, some things just don't strike other
people. All I can think of is like, you'll shoot your eye out. Ha 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 ha. It's quotable in all the stupidest ways. I don't think it's a good movie, but that's not my least favorite.
I can't even express to you guys how much Tim's face is disagreeing.
Yeah. No, I watch that movie every Christmas. That's our Christmas movie.
My least favorite is, I don't like the, I hate all of the Peanuts holiday animated specials.
I hate those.
The Christmas one included. And I really don't like the with one like scene exception, I don't like the claymation, the stop animation,
oh, the puppet-mation
one. Yeah,
Frosty, Rudolph,
and the Iceman, and the Island of Misfit Toys and all that shit. I kind of like the Island of Misfit Toys bit a little bit. Everything else about it, I really don't care for. But Peanuts is fuck Peanuts, man. Fuck that whole franchise.
I really liked it as a kid. Like, I really did, but I'm starting to think that a lot of what I liked as a kid is because that's just what there was.
Yeah.
And that's all there was. And as an adult, being exposed to different and more cartoons.
You know better now.
Well, kind of. Or at least, like, maybe, like, my taste just changed.
Sure.
I liked Rudolph a lot as a kid. I don't like it as much now. I mean, my favorite was always How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and it still is.
Yeah.
It scared me as a kid.
But, I mean, that one's Chuck Jones and Boris Karloff. It's like, how do you go wrong with that kind of pedigree?
That's great.
You know, but I don't know. I got to tell you, for Christmas Story, I got to send you guys the link to Roger Ebert actually wrote an essay about why Christmas Story is a great movie. And
I'm just saying,
he writes really good essays about movies that he calls great movies, and he really gets into why a movie is, in his opinion, great.
And it's not necessarily entertaining, not necessarily funny, but
why is this a great movie?
It's like film as art. It is a success in that way.
I feel like if that movie didn't have the voiceovers and wasn't being told from the, well, when I was a kid, and if it was just the movie without the fucking voiceovers and more acting and more semiotics, less telling me what was happening and more doing it,
I would like it more.
I don't like the voiceover parts. Mm. The more I think of it, that's my least favorite part of it, is the way the main kid is just like making a face while like 30 seconds of talking happens.
I just think we have to appreciate that we finally found something we disagree about.
Yay!
I don't like the way everyone loves. Everyone loves that lamp, electric sex, and everyone loves the Red Ryder BB gun and the quotes and other movies. It's just like, I feel like it's just loved too much for how little it really is. I don't know.
What's another category we can talk about? Favorite?
We got time to do one more favorite Christmas thing. Five questions.
What's your favorite Christmas story? Like, what's your favorite thing that's like anecdote? What's your favorite Christmas anecdote?
Christmas anecdote? Oh shit, that's hard.
I can give you one.
Okay,
you guys think. What's your favorite like thing that happened around Christmas time? The McBrides, someone always gets sick.
Yeah.
This is a tradition going back probably 34 years, my whole life, but I can maybe even longer. One of us is always sick. Whether it's just like just kind of a shitty cold or like full on in the hospital with the flu kind of a thing, broken leg, whatever. So I can remember my mom like not being able to leave her bedroom when we were hosting kinds of sick Christmases. And so we were just talking about this last night, me and Nick, and Nick was saying how one year,
It was our first married Christmas.
Yeah. So like about 4 years ago, Nick got sick for Christmas. He was sick for Christmas.
I think pork maybe.
No, I don't think it was that. You were sick. And no one else was sick. So my mom, a few days later was like, yep, that's how I know you're part of the family now. You're the McBride that got sick on Christmas. And it's just funny because if anyone else had been sick, that wouldn't have been proof enough. Like, it's just this weird,
That legitimized.
It legitimized him in a way. That my love and anything
is
else.
Is he miserable on Christmas? Oh, he must be one of us.
Pretty much. Aside from the time that, I found out about Santa when I was almost 15 years old. That's probably the best Christmas anecdote I have.
What were you thinking?
Wow, it's really hard for me. But there's this thing I remember from my childhood. And, you know, I don't remember a ton of my childhood. I don't think most of us do. But I remember one Christmas. Well, one thing about Christmas was my parents always told my brother and I, it's like, you cannot wake us up until 7 o'clock.
You
cannot wake us up until 7 o'clock, and you have to wake us up by coming into our room and singing Christmas carols.
That's fantastic.
That was the rule.
That's a great rule.
Yeah.
And my bedroom was right next to my parents' room, and my brother's bedroom was, I think, at the time in the basement. Anyway, we weren't near each other. So what would happen is, at some point, neither one of us could sleep. And this was when we still had bunk beds. And neither one of us could sleep. And we would be sitting there talking to each other and looking at the clock. And the time would be crawling by.
You wake up at like 4:30.
Yeah, crawling by. You wake up at 4:30. Yeah. And we'd be talking about when it was going to be time to wake my parents up, but trying to be really quiet so they wouldn't wake up too early.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that story is finding out years later when my mom was like, oh, you knew we could hear you guys talking the entire time. Aww. That we were awake listening to you the entire time.
That's
awesome. And realizing that they were enjoying that experience.
That was, yeah.
As parents, which was pretty cool.
Do you get that with
your
kids? Do they do the thing?
No, they don't, because what they do is Alex wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning anyway, and he just goes downstairs and he plays on the computer until it's time to come and wake up mom and dad. But I'm thinking Devin.
I would have flown in my house.
Devin's going to be a little more tricky. Well, the thing is, Alex stopped believing in Santa Claus really early.
Yeah.
You know, he was about 6 when he was like, I don't think Santa Claus exists.
We're
like,
guess that's pretty early. Yeah. It's like.
Devin,
not 16.
Devin is 14. 8 and still clinging with a mighty, mighty strong hand to the concept of Santa Claus. This year, this is a good story. This is a good story. I'm sorry, this is going to be a long podcast, but here, I got to tell this, because this year, Devin told Pat that he's not going to write a letter to Santa Claus, and he doesn't want to go sit on Santa Claus's lap. Not because he doesn't believe Santa Claus exists, but
he's testing.
Because Santa Claus is magic, which means... If Santa Claus is magic, he doesn't have to tell Santa Claus what he wants.
Really wants.
Because Santa Claus already knows.
That's some good logic.
And he's such a smart kid. And he's not testing Santa Claus. This is not a test. This is just...
He has faith in Santa Claus.
He's just, why should I go through all this work when Santa already knows?
That's like smart in a lazy way.
Smart and lazy.
So what people ask, just before we get to your thing, I was going to say, people ask me all the time, how is it you managed to believe in Santa until you were almost 15 years old? And let me tell you, if I had said that to my mom, what my mom's response would have been is, oh, no. Don't you know that you have to write it in a letter? That's part of the pact that we all as human beings made with Santa Claus when he first came to us. We agree that it's so hard for him to keep everyone's wishes straight that we would write them down and then he would have a list. So he has a list of just everyone and all their letters, and that's how he keeps track. So the only way that Santa will know what you want really is if you write it down.
So your mom is a fantastic liar.
She's a fantastic liar. Also, Santa brought toys to us. First of all, mom and dad give you presents aside from Santa.
Sure, yeah, that happens here,
too. Okay, Santa brings things out of the boxes, fully assembled, with batteries in. No packaging is seen anywhere in the house or garbage.
Santa's going to be setting up a Wii U for us this Christmas.
We bought one this weekend.
Devin's going to come downstairs on Christmas morning, and there will be a Wii U.
One year, were in Florida for Christmas, and Kevin was 7 and I was 9. We were very concerned that we weren't going to be able to have Santa there. My mom was like, no, Santa comes everywhere. He knows you're here. And we got Nerf mini golf. I don't know if you ever remember
that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was set up throughout the house.
Oh, sweet.
Including a floating hole in the pool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right? I mean, Santa has different handwriting. There's all kinds of things. All right, Nick.
So, I don't know. Mine's really simple. My fondest memory of Christmas is maybe when I was 12 or 13. I was kind of a poor kid. And so I wanted a Nintendo, like, more than anything. I had a few friends that had Nintendos. Nintendo, never got a Nintendo. So when I was 12 or 13, my parents bought me, this might have been, like, a divorce present,
actually. I was going to say, was this the last Christmas together?
This might have been the last Christmas before my parents got divorced. That might explain it. I got a Super Nintendo.
Ooh.
And a copy of Final Fantasy III, which was Final Fantasy VI in Japan.
Nice.
And I had a TV set up in the basement. This is, December. It's really cold. And I sat in the basement wrapped in blankets with a controller in my hand. And I can still remember the opening credits to Final Fantasy III is the unknown protagonist who doesn't have a name and these two soldiers, Bix and Wedge, which are, Star Wars named after, marching in Magitek armor over a snowy field as they go over this curvature of this hill using Super Nintendo 3D graphics.
Right. Which was a huge deal at the time.
And the mining town of, I think it's Narsh, rising in the background as it's, you know, built into the mountains. And it was like a snowy scene. It's very quiet. There's sound effects of wind blowing. And then, like, as you're marching up to the town, the like orchestral Final Fantasy music starts up, and you get your opening credits, and, you know, Final Fantasy III, and the game starts. And I just remember, like, that snowy field and the Magitek armor and winter outside, and I had a Super Nintendo, and I was cold and wrapped in blankets. Yeah. Like, that is my fondest Christmas memory for sure.
That's a good Christmas memory. All right, so we got to do five questions.
Yeah, we have.
And then we got to let people go back and be with their families for Christmas. Because I'm sure that they're like they skipped opening presents just so they could listen to the podcast.
This was their favorite present. Yeah. They're like...
You're welcome, America, the world. You're
welcome, atheist geeks everywhere.
So Abram Simons wrote in, and this was way back in early September. So this has nothing to do with Christmas. No, but just so you guys know, like, if you send in your answers, like, we're getting to them, I promise.
We're working through them super fast.
Abram Simons, who has given me no information about himself besides his questions.
He's efficient.
He is. So why don't you guys, I will read them. Why don't you ask me questions?
What's the best movie he had seen in the last 30 days?
Troll Hunter, a Norwegian movie about a guy followed around by a film crew who is secretly employed to control and hunt renegade trolls. I like interesting approaches to monsters.
I've heard about Troll Hunter.
I haven't seen it.
I fell asleep in the first 15 minutes when I tried watching it. That's my fault. Yeah. So my favorite parts is that when he's taking these tours of people, I think at one point he realizes that someone is in the car is a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And starts to get very worried because the trolls, the Scandinavian trolls, love Christians. They love to
eat. They like to eat them.
Christians.
Yeah.
And they think their blood attracts them or something like that.
Trolls in Scandinavian countries are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they are
a phenomenon. Yeah, yeah, like
it's crazy. You've been to Epcot.
Yes.
You know all the fucking troll stuff they have.
They've got troll stuff in the Norway. Yeah. You are not the first to pass this.
Yeah, and the fjord ride is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, Maelstrom is the name of the ride.
Yeah, Maelstrom.
And it's got trolls and an oil rig.
It's true. And a waterfall.
All
right, so second question.
Oh, do I have to say the second question? I don't remember anymore. Oh, what is your favorite atheist character?
I, Abram Simons, think I would have to go with Kvothe from Patrick Rothfuss's excellent fantasy series starting with In the Name of the Wind. It's called The Kingkiller
Chronicles.
And it's awesome, I agree. So continuing with what he said. He doesn't come out explicitly as an atheist, but does dismiss all religion as baseless superstition and is really only interested in fact.
Yeah.
He approaches problems with facts, logic, and skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
Even the majority of magic is reasonably scientific in this world, following rules and certain aspects being calculated by formula.
I love it in those books. Yeah. Magic, when you're...
It's called sympathy.
It's called sympathy, and it's handled like a science, and it's taught in university, and... In order to use magic properly, you need to have a solid understanding of thermodynamics.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Because it's energy to energy. Because you're creating energy out of energy.
You're moving energy
and amplifying.
And so if you're not careful, you can sap all of the heat from your body and give yourself hypothermia and die if you don't cast spells carefully and you don't know your... handle your like transference of energy and thermodynamics properly.
And they go into it very in detail, and Kvothe was he's a gypsy who left the gypsy and became, you know, one of the university, mages.
Whatever they are.
A magic guy, we'll just say. But he is constantly questioning.
Yeah.
Which is important because there's other characters that just believe. And he's always questioning. He's always doubting. He's always asking before he ends.
He's very skeptical.
Yeah. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Great book. I haven't read that.
They're fun.
Patrick Rothfuss was a guest of honor Convergence a few years back.
2011, I think.
I can't believe I didn't know because I hadn't read the books yet.
He's a great guy.
Third question, what is your geekiest hobby?
He says, tabletop role-playing, especially indie stuff, knitting, bird-watching. They're all geeky.
They are.
Bird-watching.
Bird-watching is something that our friend, Abby Kritzer, is very, very into. She is almost like a like the way bird watchers are like collectors in that
yeah.
weird way. It's
yeah,
like,
they've got a life list. Yeah,
yeah, it's super cool.
My brother's a birder. My brother
oh,
and his
okay.
wife
my,
are really big.
My
big.
Grandpa.
When
well,
they
Sharon
go, when
Seidler
they go, when,
too, right?
yeah, oh, Sharon. Yeah. Well, yeah, she's a pretty well known birder,
yeah,
bird chick. But my brother and his wife, when they go like on a vacation, they will actually pretty much anytime they go on a vacation, they'll hire a bird guide to take them around to see the unique birds in the area that they're in. They're really hard.
Have they
birders.
Been to Costa Rica?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, because like no, see, my family went to Costa Rica once and we did this cloud forest tour where you
yeah.
go up in the cloud
sure,
forest and
yeah.
there were some amazing birds up there. And I bet if you were going with a specific like goal of birding, it would be insane.
Oh yeah.
So here's a fun Nick fact that I haven't divulged on the podcast before. I fucking hate birds.
He hates birds.
Do you hate them or are you scared of them?
He hates
hate
birds
them.
And
okay.
specifically he hates bird song.
Bird song is the most obnoxious thing.
This is Nick's favorite
ever.
Bird call.
Two notes. I'm a stupid bird and I only know two notes. I fucking hate that bird. I hate those birds so much.
And they're all over our neighborhood. And every time I hear one, you'll be dead. I'm going to be old and you're going to be dead. And I'm going to hear the... And I'm going to just start laughing. And people are going to be like, what? I'm like, two notes. I only know two notes.
Yeah, I don't fear them. I'm not disgusted by them. I think birds are the fish of the air. I feel like they're not intelligent. They're pointless and stupid except for eating.
The fish of the air.
The fish of the air. Well, let's move on.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing else we can say there.
All right.
Your favorite sandwich.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sandwich?
His favorite sandwich is chicken tender melt. Crispy fried chicken tenders. Smothered with pepper jack cheese and layered with bacon. Served on grilled sourdough bread and served with peppercorn ranch dressing for dipping.
Ooh.
Grilling gets the bread nice and crispy, the cheese melty, and get some butter involved.
That sounds really, really tasty and also unhealthy. But
yeah.
it's exactly the kind of sandwich I think Matt would
yeah,
eat.
Yeah,
with,
sure.
With abandon.
He likes the more animals in the sandwich, the better.
Yeah, so you know, you've got some pig, you've got some chicken,
right.
you've got... some ranch dressing,
Matt
which is
also
cow.
Likes things that make him fat, like drinking and triple fried
and,
pork
and
chops.
And go right to the
chicken.
Arteries. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that that's a pretty good sound
yeah.
sandwich.
And
I could eat about two bites of that before I would die, I think. But it does sound good.
I don't like ranch dressing.
Yeah.
So I would probably dip that bitch in some blue cheese.
See, I'm a big fan of ranch dressing.
I think I would dip that in ketchup. Because I like grilled cheese sandwiches and ketchup, or maybe like tomato soup or something.
I think you'd like everything in ketchup. Is that what I'm getting here?
No. I mean,
Frank's. He likes everything with Frank's.
Oh, everything with Frank's.
Oh,
yeah.
Frank's is good
Frank's
stuff.
On everything.
Yeah.
Put that shit on everything. So, and then our last question.
The
what's,
one
the,
thing you don't. Yep.
What's the stupidest thing you've heard about your atheism?
He says, was arguing with a dude about Chick-fil-A, and while he was supporting homophobia and bigotry, he called atheists people without morals and nihilists. It juxtaposed nicely with his hate. Yeah, what I think is so funny is when people are like, they have the right to believe whatever they want. And like, yeah, they do.
And
I have the right to boycott them.
Yeah, I have the right to call them bigots and say that they're full of shit.
And those two chicks have the right to make out in front of their store
yeah.
as long as they
but
want.
But you know what Chick-fil-A doesn't have the right to do? Offer a discount to people who show up on Sundays with a church bulletin.
Yeah.
Which they...
No, they have a right to do that. What they don't have a right to do is... Or even what they don't... Okay, how about this?
They have to offer the discount to everyone.
No, they don't. No, they don't. That's... Look at ladies' nights. No, they don't. When you have a private institution, which is what every business in America is, you have the right to refuse anyone. You have the right to refuse anyone for any reason.
But they're offering a discount based on religious belief.
Yeah. No, they're not. You could go to church, Nick, and you could get a coupon. Anyone could do it.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to give them.
Could I show up with a bulletin from my atheist meeting?
Nope. But the point is, that's
what about a Unitarian church?
The church bulletin.
They won't know any better.
The church bulletin is that coupon. You could also say, like, well, I don't get the Sunday paper. They're discriminating against people who can't afford the Sunday paper by saying you have to have a coupon in the paper.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I can't afford the paper.
I don't know if I agree with that.
See, I know. It's because religion comes into it. But when it comes to American business, there's no, like, you could have a club that doesn't allow white people. You can.
Yeah, sure.
There's colleges.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
You know, that reminds me of... So the Westboro Baptist Church is protesting funerals again, yes. like tragedy
yeah.
funerals.
Yes. Yeah,
and they do that a lot. The hacker group Anonymous is targeting them right now
because they've been doxing,
which is disclosing identification. They've released social security numbers, date of birth, address, phone numbers of people in the Westboro Church, but also they've been releasing. The hotels they're staying at, they've been publicly making that information. If they're staying under assumed name, they release that and they say, feel free to call up this hotel. Here's their number and tell them that they have the right to refuse business to anyone for any reason or no reason. And eventually they're hoping that people will kind of... I mean, essentially, it's harass these hotels into kicking them out.
It gets to the point where it's like, is it... what they're doing is they're making the hotels, if not... kick them out. Hotels in the future will be thinking, do I want to have to deal with this?
Right.
Or should I not, should we be full?
Yeah.
When they call to make a reservation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to break radio silence for, my theory on the Westboro Baptist Church is what they're looking for is attention.
Well, yeah.
And so
trolls.
My goal is to not talk about them at all. Because fuck them.
I'm good.
But the one thing that I'm going to say is, you know, they've been searching for attention forever, and they had to realize at some point that they were going to get the wrong kind of attention.
And they got it.
And what goes around?
They want all of it because the way they—if you ever—I saw them on Russell. I saw them on the Russell Brand show, Brand X, and they're saying like, "We don't care. You're all doomed.
Yeah.
We're here to tell you that you're doomed. You're going to hate that. We know. We are telling you what God wants you to hear. And God is telling you, like, fix your shit or you're all dead.
No, no.
And when you're
not even fix your shit, just you're all dead.
You're all dead.
Yeah.
And you're like, boo, boo, you guys are horrible. They're like, yeah, well, you know, we don't care. And that's
well,
why
but
I
we aren't horrible because what we're trying to do is save your soul.
No, they're not.
They're not.
They're not.
I know they aren't.
They don't even want you. They honestly, they say that sometimes, but that's not their purpose. Their purpose is just basically to tell you that you're all dead. It's there were
a friend of ours compared them to Cthulhu cultists who pray to their God and just hope that they are eaten last.
The thing is, if you read the Bible and think of it as actually being a historical document of things that happened, let's just say, like, magic aside, there were people who had this message forever, right? That were like, God is angry and you're all fucked. P.S. He told me to tell you that. Just think of it as like, so there's what, like 60, 100 of these Westboro Baptist fucks? So think of it as just a population magnitude. It's not that, you know, there's just, now there's 100 of them instead of two dudes.
Yeah.
You
know, right.
Like
just,
that's
you know,
all it is.
They're terrible people and I try not to talk about them. And we are way over time and that's horrible because it's Christmas!
Yay,
yeah.
Christmas, you get extra minutes.
Happy Crimbo, everyone. That's
Crimbo.
Your present. More us.
Yeah, go and open presents or ignore Christmas if that's the sort of thing you want to do.
Yeah,
you know?
we have a new thing. You can send your answers to our five questions to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com.
Ooh, that's so much
easier.
Much easier.
Goodness.
And if you have anything to say to any of us individually, Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com.
Now, hold on, Nick. Can I send it to the number 5 or the word 5 questions at geekswithoutgod.com?
Take your pick.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. That's
dealer's
so
choice.
Not confusing.
Dealer's choice. Thanks, everybody, and Merry Crimbo.
Merry Crimbo, everybody.
Merry Crimbo.
Ho, ho, ho! Geeky boners for everyone!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time. You can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
That is going to be so long.
Yeah.